Quick review, Mirtz Hashem, of some of the points, the main points that we made on Daf Ayin, before we begin the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Aleph. First of all, there are certain trees that we said are not included in the sale, and the reason for that is because these trees are very significant. And Rav explains that how do you define a tree that's significant? He's talking about a tree that you need a rope in order to climb the tree and harvest its fruits. That's called Kol She'olim Lo B'Chevel. That's a significant tree, and it's not included in the sale. It's called a shear. Now, that's referring to palm trees, which don't have many branches. However, with regard to other trees, the Gemara establishes in the name of Dayani Gola that it depends on Kola Ole B'machresha V'kovsho. In other words, the issue is whether or not the tree is such that it could be Ma'akev the Machresha, it would stop the yoke that's on the back of the animal. That's a significant tree. It has a status of its own. And since it's an Ilan Choshev, it's a Shear, and that means it's included in the Chutz Me'ilanos, that stipulation, that exclusionary clause that the Mocher stipulated when he sold the field. We spoke and we learned about Mafkid Bishtar. There's a Mafkid of the Nifkad, the Mafkid received the Shtar from the Nifkad. The Edom testify that the object was given over to the Nifkad such that the Nifkad will not be able to deny that he ever received the object. But if the Nifkad, the Shomer, claims in this particular case, Hechzartiv, yes, I received the object in my safeguard, but I returned it to you, then should he be believed despite the fact that the Mafkid is holding on to the Shtar? And here the Gemara posits, as we saw yesterday, a contradiction between two polar extremes. On the one hand, the Mafkid is holding on to the Shtar. Had the Nifkad returned the object as he claims, he should have gotten back the Shtar. That's Shtar Chaviot Chamay Boy. On the other hand, we should believe the Nifkad because he has a Migu. He could have claimed Nensu. The Shtar would be meaningless against the claim of Nensu, and therefore he's believed. And the final maskana is that Enochinami, he is believed. And basically what we're saying there for the maskana is that the Shomer, the Nifkad, has a migu which overrides the Shtar in this case. And again, the Shtar doesn't say explicitly that he did not return the object. It's only Midin Koach HaShtar, as we discussed yesterday. But nevertheless, we believe the Nifkad, the Shomer, with his Migu. But there's one limitation in the Migu, because had he claimed then, so he would have had to take a Shvua to that effect. So too, when he claims Hechzartiv, even though he has a Migu, he would have to take the Shvua, because the Taina that he's putting forth is not greater than the Taina that he could have put forth, and therefore we require a Shvua. We discussed at great length the case of a Shtar Kis, Sheyotze al Yisomim, which means that in the case of an Asek, there's an agreement between the person who puts down the money and the one who receives the money to manage the business and invest the money. And that agreement sets up a split between the money. Half the money is a pikadon, half the money is a milva. With regard to the chelek ha-milva is concerned, there the manager who received these funds has an absolute unconditional obligation and commitment to pay back half the funds. That's the milva aspect. The other aspect, which is the pikadon, here any loss to the object, let's say for example if there's an ones, it accrues to the person who put down the money, the financier who's financing this business. And the profits in event that Emir Tzashem, there's a successful business venture, will be split between the two. Now, in the case where the father is alive, as long as he's alive, and Reuven comes to him with this shtar kiss, and he says, you know, you have to return the money. So as far as the half which is a milva is concerned, we have shtar chaviyot kamay boy, and certainly the father would have to pay up that half. He has an absolute commitment. And he has no migu on that half, because even that he claimed onus, he would still have to pay. It's a milva. As far as the other half is concerned, the father, since he's now a shomer, an ifkad, he should have the same status as what we discussed earlier, a credibility to claim that he's already returned that half. And that would be the father's credibility based on a migu, that he could have said ones, because that half is a pikadon. Now the father dies, and the shtar is being brought out against the yesomim with a claim that your father owes us the money. As far as half of the money is concerned, that's the milva dimension. That's for sure he would have to pay. As far as the pikadon is concerned here, the Gemara has a machlokes that is between the Dayani Gola and the Dayanim here in Eretz Yisrael, and the Gemara goes back and forth as to whether or not we should say that the Baal Ashtar is believed and he can force the Somim to pay even that other half, which is the Bikadin half. He'll have to take a Shvur to be Poreh from the Somim. And even though in general we would say that the father would have been believed with a migu, so why not believe the children, at least raise that taina on behalf of the children, that indeed that half was returned by the father. And the Gemara says that the svara is that the father, had he returned that half, should have notified his yorshim before he died. The Gemara offers the opposite svara, that maybe he died suddenly and he wasn't able to tell his children that he had paid up, and therefore this becomes a classical case in which the father himself would have been believed, and therefore the Yarshim would have believed. And also it seems to revolve around the point and the principle that we don't put forward a taina on behalf of the Yisomim if that taina is a weak taina. And the question is whether or not the father, the possibility that the father would have paid back during his lifetime that half which was a pikadon is a serious issue. Tosus here discusses the case of milv bal peh, and whether or not in the case of a milv bal peh the malva can collect from the yarshim. And the assumption is that in a milv bal peh the father does not have the ability to collect from the yarshim unless the father during his lifetime had admitted, made the confession, so to speak, that he did not pay back the milva. Then the children have to pay back their father's milva, mitzvah lam lefra chovas avim. But in the absence of such odah, we cannot force the yorshim to pay and assume that the father had not paid up. The father would have been believed to say that he had paid up in a milv bal peh, there's no shtar, so therefore we cannot collect from the yorshim. This is a discussion in Tosfos. Now, before we start our Mishnah here on Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, let's just mention that we've seen in previous Mishnayos that when a person sells a field, then we assume that only that which is called the sod itself, the karka itself, is included in that sale. Beyond that, it's not included in the sale. The one exception that we saw was the avanim, and that's going to be the Mishnah on Daf Samaches Amud Beis, and Imritz Hashem will read that Mishnah, or part of that Mishnah, momentarily. So before we start the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, I just want to take a quick peek at the previous Mishnah, which is on Daf Samaches Amud Beis. In that Mishnah, Mocher Sasodeh, Mocher Savonim. The question is, if you sell a field, are the stones, in those days stones were valuable, are they included in the sale? Mm-hmm. So the Mishnah makes the following distinction. There are two types of stones. there's one stone, Havanim Shehem Litzarka, which means that they are set in the field in order to serve the field. And those are included in the sale. However, Mishnah goes on to say that Lo Machar Es Havanim She'enem Litzarka. If there are stones that happen to be on the field, but they don't function for the field, that's not included in the sale. And in that same Mishnah, the Mishnah asks the question, when you sell a field, are the trees in the field included in the sale? And the Mishnah says that there are trees that are very young, like a charuv, it's a carob tree that's young, it hasn't developed yet. When it gets older, what they do is they take a branch from another tree and they graft it onto the charuv tree. That really it strengthens the tree and it produces much more fruit. But in its youth, it's not so chashuv, and therefore it's considered part of the field and it's included in the sale. Then the Mishnah goes on to talk about something called a shikma. Shikma is what we call in English a sycamore tree. And once again, if it's a young tree, then it's not considered chashuv. It doesn't have what's called a shame bifnayatzmo, its own name. And therefore it's batel, so to speak, to the sudden, it's included in the sale. Our Mishnah here on Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph is a continuation of that Mishnah. Boker Tov. And the Mishnah says as follows: Lo es habor, v'lo es hagas, v'lo es hashovach. There are other things that are excluded from the field, from the sale of the field. Now, it's important to emphasize that we're talking about the following scenario. Reuven sells a field to Shimon, and he says explicitly, I'm including in this field, it's he, the field, v'kol ma'ashe b'socha, and anything included in the field, it's all sold to you. So you would think that since he said, he, v'kol ma'ashe b'socha, everything is included in the field. And the answer is no. The Mishnah says that despite the fact that he added that clause, there are many things that are not included in this sale because they're not bichlal sada. They're not included in that concept, in that word sada. And the Mishnah gives three such examples. Number one is a bar where they dug into the ground in order for the water to collect. And that water would be used to irrigate the field. But nevertheless, again, it's not considered a sada, it's considered a bar. It has a shame, bifnei atzmo. Number two, we have something called a gas, or a gat. And what that's referring to is when they used to take the olives from the trees, then they used to put them into a press in order to produce oil. And that press, even though it is absolutely stationary in the karka, in the field, but nevertheless it has a name unto itself. It's called the olive press or the wine press. And therefore, it's not included in the sale. And number three is the shovach. They used to have chicken coops or bird coops for doves and so forth. And that's where they raised the birds. And the shovach has a name unto itself. So even though it's permanently fixtured in the field, nevertheless, it's got a name unto itself. It's not included in the sale of a sada. And the Mishnah goes on to tell us, Bein Charevim, Bein Yishuv. And it makes no difference if there's water in the bar, that's called Yishuvim, or there's a vineyard right next door to the field, and in such a case, obviously the press is, you know, this wine press, functioning as a press for these grapes. Or if there are doves in the shovach, that's called yishuvim. Or charuvim means there's nothing inside. There's no water in the sitra. There's no grapes next door to the gat. There are no birds in the coop. It doesn't matter one way or the other. These objects are considered chashuv bifnei atzman. They have a certain significance, and they're not included in the field. Okay, then that's called Dover She'eno Bichlal Hasada. Now, the reason why I emphasize this over and over again is because this whole perek in Masechta Bava Basra revolves around a fundamental issue, which is a machlokas between Chachom and Rabbi Akiva, whether or not Mocher b'ayin Yofu Mocher Mocher b'ayin Rahu Mocher. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that Mocher b'ayin Yofu Mocher. That means we expand the scope of the Mecher. For example, if I sell you something, I have to sell you also access to that something, right? That's called a Derech. And Rabbi Akiva sees it as a magnanimous kind of a sale, right? It expands and the scope is expansive. However, even Rabbi Akiva in these cases, note that the Mishnah doesn't mention Rabbi Akiva because Rabbi Akiva is a silent partner to this Mishnah. He agrees that when it comes to a bar, a dus, a gat, and a shovach, these are objects which are not included in the sale because they're not called a sada. This is what the Rashbam is going to make a big deal about this. I'm just, you know, giving you a preview of coming attractions. And therefore, even Rabbi Akiva holds that a davrsha eino bechlal sada, if you cannot call it a sada, even though it's kavua, it's set there in a permanent way, and it functions within the broader context of the field, but nevertheless, it has a name unto itself, even Rabbi Akiva. Where does Rabbi Akiva say, ayin yofahu mocha? That's when you have something which you sell to someone, and in order for that person as a buyer to have access, to enjoy the benefits of it, he needs to be able to come and use it. That's called mocher v'ayin yofahu mocher. In any event, with regard to Derech, the Mishnah now presents, the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon. And the Mishnah says the following: Tzorech likach lo Derech divrei Rabbi Akiva. If the seller wants to own this bar, which again is excluded from the sale, the gat, or the shovach, then he needs access to it. So you would have thought that in such a case, the mocher has to... Now here's the question. This is going to be the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Since everybody agrees, even Rabbi Akiva, that the gat and the shovach are not included in the sale, well, what about the derech? So the mocher has now retained for himself these objects, which have, as we said before, a name unto themselves. Does he also retain, that's called the shiur, and limit the sale, excluding the derech? So Rabbi Akiva says no. He includes the derech in the sale. It's very paradoxical because Rabbi Akiva's principle is so powerful of mocher v'ayin yofu mocher, means that the mocher is going to have to go out of his way when he writes up the document and explicitly mention that he's retaining for himself the derech, the road, the pathway to have access to this gat or this shovach or the bar. If he doesn't mention it, he's going to have to now set up a new deal and buy from the buyer. The seller has to buy back from the buyer his rights to the derech, because that's Rabbi Akiva's shita. Rabbi Akiva's shita is that unless the mocher stipulates that he retains for himself the derech, he has sold the entire field, including the derech. He only retains for himself the bar. Now he wants to get access to the bar. He's got to buy the rights to have access to the bar. The Chachamim ain't no tzarech, because the Chachamim hold that ha-mocher b'ayin rohu mocher, that he's going to retain for himself whatever he can. He's going to be very very limited in what he sells. He's not so magnanimous. And therefore, he's definitely retaining for himself not only the bar and the shovach and the gas, but also the derech to the bar, shovach, and the gas. And therefore, there's no need for the mocher, for the seller, to buy back that derech. But umod Rabbi Akiva, now here's where Rabbi Akiva agrees. Now look, according to Rabbi Akiva, the sale itself includes the derech, correct? But Moder Rabbi Akiva b'zman she'amar lo, if the mocher said explicitly chutz me'elu, he went out of his way to say that I don't include in the sale the bar, the gas, or the shovach. In such a case, she'eino tzach likach lo derech. Since the mocher says, I am, in the context of this sale, retaining to, for myself these different objects, therefore, and he didn't have to say so, therefore, in such a case, even Rabbi Akiva agrees that why did he explicitly spell out that which was his anyway? He had rights to the bar and the shovuch and the gas. So why did he say, no, I want to retain ownership? The answer is, ein adam motzi dvarim b'teilu mipiv. A person doesn't say things that are meaningless. And therefore, the reason why he added this and explicitly retained for himself these three things is because he wants to also have a derech. That's why he added them. And therefore, he automatically retained for himself the mocher rights to the derech. In this case, even Rabbi Akiva agrees that there's no need for him to buy it back. In other words, Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion in general that the derech is considered something that's muvan meilav, that in the case where he lets himself he retains for himself a bar, that in such a case, unless he explicitly says, right, so he didn't have to explicitly say that the bar is not included in the field in the sale, because even Rabbi Akiva agrees that the bar is not included in the sale, correct? Rabbi Akiva says, though, the derech is included in the sale, but if he went out of his way, which seems to be dvarim miyutarim, a superfluous and unnecessary statement, that he wants to retain for himself a bar, then in such a case, he's excluding the derech from the sale, he's retaining for himself, the mocher, the rights to the derech. Mecharon li'acher, now what happens is, and I'm interpreting this Mishnah based on the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos. By the way, the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos says something amazing. He says that everything that we're learning really depends upon the minag ha-makom. In other words, what's ever considered part of the field or a separate item and has a shame unto itself all depends upon the minag ha-makom. If the minag in a particular area is, says the Rambam, that legally when you sell a field, you include in that sale the bar and the shovach and the gas, then it's included. The Mishnah is only telling you what's the law in a case where there's no set minhag. I just wanted to point that to you. That's a fascinating Rambam.
Is the minhag strong with the law? The halacha?
Correct. Because everything that we're learning depends upon what's called das b'nei adam. Every kinyan requires das makne, das kone. The das is determined by the minhag ha-makom, but the Rambam says the Mishnah wants to establish what is the law that governs a case where there are different minhagim or there's no set minhag at all. However, in the case where, that's how the Rambam interprets it, he sells one person, let's say Reuben sells to Shimon the Sada, and he sells to Levi the bar and the gas and the shovel, because keep in mind, when he sells the field, he doesn't include these items in the, so he has rights not to sell it to someone else. So he's got two buyers. Is Rabbi Akiva Omer, Eino tzarech likach lo derech. In such a case, the one who purchased the bar and the dus, since it was a separate purchase, he automatically gets for himself the derech. And that's what Rabbi Akiva says, Eino tzarech lik, in other words, the buyer. So again, we said that there were two buyers here, right? One buyer purchased the field, the other buyer purchased the bar, dus, and the gat. In such a case, the buyer of the bar does not have to go ahead and pay extra money for the derech, because since all he purchased was the bar, then the assumption is that he purchased the derech that gives him access to the bar. And that was included in the field.
Because here Rabbi Akiva says he sold it by Ein Yafi.
I think what the Gemara is pointing out here, that since he sold it by Ayin Yotha, what does it mean to sell a person a bar and the buyer doesn't have access to the bar? So the answer is that he must have sold the access to the bar as well. So under normal circumstances, you know, the mocher would be able to buy back, let's say, access to the bar because he retained ownership on the bar. But here he sold the bar, and Rabbi Akiva says included in that sale is the access to the bar. So now, even though he sold the sada to one person, the one who purchased the bar, he doesn't have to go back to the one who owns the sada, which, you know, and say to him, well, you know, give me access to the bar. No, it was a separate sale on the bar, and that includes the derech. The chachamim omer, the chacham hold mocher b'ayin rahu mocher, and therefore tzarech likach lo derech, and he has to buy. In other words, the buyer who purchased the bar now has to go ahead and buy the derech. Now, Rabosai, at this point, there's a real radical shift in the subject of everything that we've been learning. Until now, we've been learning about sales. Now, we're going on to four other different topics. One is a gift, which is called a matana. Number two, we're going to talk about dividing up a Yerusha, inheritance. Number three, we're going to talk about hefker, if I want to be zochem in a hefker. Number four, someone who is magdish his field. And now the laws change. When do we assume that the bar, gat, and shovach are not included in the field? That's only b'mocher. When a person is mocher something, even if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, the ayin yafu mocher, but nevertheless, he doesn't include these items in the sale because they're not included in sada. They're separate items, separate entities with their own identity. Avol b'nosein matana, if a person gives a gift, nosein es kula, he gives anything in the field, even the bar, the gat, and the shofach, that's all included in his gift. And why? Because in this case, there's a super halacha of ayin yafe, who nosein, not mocher, but who nosein. What I mean by super halacha, because we said that normally, even Rabbi Akiva agrees that ayin yafe does not include the bar, the gat, and the shofach. But here, in the case of Matana, he's so eager and interested in giving the gift, he gives anything that's not only included in the word sadeh, but functions in ba'ofen kavua, in a permanent way, in the context of the field. So these items are located in the field. They function for the field, right? You've got grapes growing in the field. You now take the grapes and you put them into the press. You've got a field that has to be irrigated. You have this water cistern that receives the water, and it functions on behalf of the sada, so to speak. You have a shovach, because that's what you do in this field. You know, you make sure that the birds have enough food to eat and so forth and so on. All these items, even though they're separate items, they're not bechlal sadeh, but nevertheless, since they're kvuim b'sadeh, and it's not something that you just happen to put in your sadeh on a temporary basis, but that's a permanent, a fixture to the field, then in the case of a gift, we assume that's included in the gift. Now again, you know, I'm trying to judge my time. There's a major machlokas here between the Rashbam and Tosus. Maybe in Mirtz Hashem, Belineder, we'll get a chance to talk about it later. Remind me, footnote number 13, if we get to it. Yud Gimel here in the Gemara. In any event, the Mishnah goes on to say, Ha'achim Shecholku, now we're talking about a Yerusha, is Zachu Bisadeh, when they divvy up the land, the field, after the father's demise, zachu bekule, then each one gets the field, and everything in the field, including the bar, and the gas, and the shovach. Why? Because here, when they divvy up the field, each one wants to get exactly what his father owned, and now bequeathed to him. His father bequeathed him the field, and everything in the field, and that's what, when they split up the field, which is called chalukas hayerusha, they all had in mind that each one would get his portion of the field and the bar and the shovach that's in the field. In other words, here, there's no understanding of shiur that, you know, they excluded the bar because that's the way they divvy up the Yerusha. The Mishnah goes on to say, Hamachzik b'nichsei hager. Now we're talking about hefker. What happened? A ger died and he had no children. And none of his other relatives are halachically related to him, so they're not Yorshim. And therefore, all of his property is now Hefker. And if somebody is Zochah the Hefker, how does he do so? Hichzik b'sada, he makes a kinyan on the field. That's called Nal Gadar Uparatz. You know, he does some improvement in a permanent way to the field. Then Hechzik b'kula, then he's Zochah in the entire field, including the Gas and the Shovach. Everything is included. And also, Hamagdish es asode, Hikdish es kula. Everything is included in the Hikdish, including the bar, the gas, and the shovach. And here the Rashbam explains. The Rashbam says the following: why is Mechira, a sale, different from all the rest? The premise is that a person doesn't sell his property unless he's really pressured to do so. So he's not eager to sell his property. He has no choice. But in all these other cases, there's no one who is saying, you know, I don't want you to be Zocha. You know, there's no anti-force. In a Mocher, he doesn't really want to sell it. So his Das now becomes a barrier, and he wants to retain for himself anything that's not explicit in the sale. But in the case of, number one, a matana, no, he's forcing me to give you this gift. In the case of chaluka, where everyone has equal rights, in the case of zochem and a hefker in nichsei ager, or in the case of magdish, which nobody forced him to make this field hegdish, in all these cases, we assume that anything that is part of the field, even though, again, it has a name unto itself, its own identity, but nevertheless it functions in a permanent way, as part of the field, it's all included. That's even Hegdesh. Comes along Reb Shimon. And Rabbo said the basic sugya of Reb Shimon is on Daf Ayin Beis. So Beli Neder, we'll try to get to that tomorrow. Beli Neder, because the sugya of Reb Shimon is extremely complicated. He says, Amagdish the Sasoda lo Higdish Ela es Acharav Amurkov vi es Sadan Hashikma. Now, he's willing to divide up the issue of all these extra items on the field into two different categories. One category is what we discussed until now, and that's called the gat and the shovach and the bar. Those things, according to Rav Shimon, are not included in his hegdesh against the chachamim. He's only willing to agree that in the case of Hegdesh, as opposed to Mecher, as opposed to a sale, we're going to expand it to include very significant trees, which means either, number one, a Charuv Hamurkov, which is a carob tree that was already mature, and then they grafted a branch from another tree onto the carob tree, or the case of a Shikma, which is an older sycamore tree that they used to use. The sycamore tree doesn't produce any fruit. That's called the Nilan Srak. What they did was they took the sycamore tree and they cut it down for its wood. And in these cases, within the context of Mechira, they're not included in the Mecher because they have such significance that it's not called a Sada. But in the case of Hegdesh, Reb Shimon is willing to accept this expansionary clause and we expand the scope of the Hegdesh, but not as far as Bar and Gat and Shovach. So again, Rabbi Shimon Shita is very complicated. And that's hopefully what we'll get to down the line, but it's on Daf Azaria Berzon, not on Daf Ayin Aleph. So the Gemara asks, Maishna, why is it that in Mecher, we say that the Mecher is very limited in its scope, and we exclude the Bar and the Gat and the Shovach? Maishna, Matana. Why is it that the Mishnah stipulates that Matana is an expansionary? I mean, if you're going to tell me Mocher b'Ayin Yafu Mocher, maybe we should apply that even in the case of Mechira. And if you can tell me Ayin Rahu Mocher, so why not say even a Matana is b'Ayin Ra? Pirish Yehuda ben Nekosa Lefnei Rebbe, he explained it. And here the Gemara is not going to accept this explanation. Zeh Pirish. In the case of a matana, he said explicitly, I'm giving you everything. But vizeh, in the case of the mecher, lo piresh. He didn't say, I'm giving you everything. The Gemara says, that's not true. Hi, zeh piresh, vizeh lo piresh. Are you telling me that in the Mishnah, we're talking about a case where in the matana, he said explicitly, I'm giving you everything. In the mecher, he didn't say so. Zeh lo piresh, vizeh lo piresh. In both cases, the Mishnah is talking about a case of a stam, a regular mecher or matana. He didn't say this, he didn't say that. Ella, but no. What's the difference between Mecher and Matana? Zeh, in the case of someone who gives a Matana, he gives the Ayin Yafe. And the assumption is that unless he excludes something, then we presume that he includes everything. Hoyelo Lefarish. If he wanted to exclude the Bar, the Gat, and the Shovach, he should have said so, because the premise is that he's going to give it all. That's the way a person gives a gift. But Zev is then the case of a Mocher, Lo Hoyelo Lefarish. There's no reason why he would have had to stipulate that he's not interested in selling the Bar, because automatically the sale is limited and it doesn't include a Bar. So he doesn't have to He doesn't have to say anything. But in the right, he didn't have to stipulate. In other words, when the mocher doesn't say what doesn't say something, or when the nosein matana doesn't say something, we have to ask ourselves the following question: should have he? Would we have anticipated that he would have said something? In the case of matana, because we assume that he gives it with a good, full heart and he's very magnanimous, if he wanted to exclude the bar, he should have excluded the bar. If he didn't exclude the bar, then tacitly he's approving the sale of the bar. But in the case of a mecher, where the person doesn't want to sell something, as we discussed before, it's only because he's forced to sell it. Therefore, he wants to retain for himself everything. And the fact that he didn't mention the bar doesn't mean a thing. We assume he didn't want to sell the bar, because that's our assumption. Now the Gemara tells this story. Hahu di Amar Lehu, the Rashbam explains, we're talking about Nebuch Agoses, a Shchiv Meira, someone who's on his deathbed. And he commands to give away his nechasim. Any command has to be implemented. So what did he say to the people in front of him? Havule leplanya, please give a gift to so-and-so. Planya is an anonymous person. Besa, a house. Demachzik mea gulfe, that holds onto it 100 barrels of wine. Now, what that means is that there are 10 barrels in the width and 10 barrels in the length. 10 times 10 is 100. Now, we're about to give the house, which has the 100 chavios, to the so-and-so, the recipient. Ishtakech, we check it out. The havi machzik, and we find that it's holding on to mea v'yesrim chavios. That means it's divided up in a different way, and it has 120 barrels. And now the question is, did he have in mind to give this gift to so-and-so? Omar Marzutra said, yeah, he had in mind to give away 100 barrels, but not beyond 100 barrels. And therefore, says Marzutra, Mea Amarle, Mea V'Esrim Lo Amarle. And here we have a basic machlokas we've shown him, but the Rashbam holds that it means that we give him 100, but he won't get 120. So what we're going to give him, according to the Rashbam, is, let's say, the shear of 100 chavios. That means we'll give him 5 out of 6 chalakim. We won't give him the 6th chalak. You know, if you divide 120 into 6 chalakim, each chalak is 20. We're going to give him 5/6. We're not going to give him 6/6. Even though he said, I'm giving you the bias. But he said, I'm giving you the bias with 100 chavios. So we're limited to the 100 chavios. Other have shown him learn, no, that since there are 120 chavios, he never meant to give them this gift at all. The whole thing was a bluff, and he wasn't serious about it. In any event, Rav Ashi Omar, Milo Tnan. In other words, according to Rav Ashi, we're going to give him the house with all 120 barrels, even though he only mentioned 100 barrels. But Med Varma Murim, the Mishnah says, B'mocher Avol B'nosein. Now, Mishnah says that with regard to a matana, is nosein as kulon. We give it all. If someone wouldn't mind closing the door, that's why I wanted to learn inside here, because I get very distracted by noise. I'm not like Rabbi Weider. I mean, he's in a different world. You know, he can go on and on. I can't. I need to concentrate. So, what do we see from that Mishnah? Demand the Yoiv Matana, whoever gives a gift, be Ein Yofi Yoiv. He gives it with all his heart, and he's very magnanimous. Is Hachinami here too, in the case of a Shchiv Mira, he's on his deathbed. He's giving it with a full heart. Mandiyoev, Matana, behind Yofi Yoev. Now, of course, you're going to ask me the following question. So why did he tell him 100 barrels? There are 120 barrels here. If he was giving value in Yofi, he should have said all the barrels in the bias. So the Mefarshim explains, starting with the Rashbam and down, that he thought
he's not giving barrels; he's giving the area that the barrels take.
He's giving the area and the barrels. Now we're confused. Do we define the area by the barrels, or do we say no? We define the area and all the barrels in that area, even if there are more barrels than what he stipulated in his gift. And now we have the shita of Rav Ashi, that he's giving in the gift all the barrels in the bayis, even though there are 120. So the Rashbam asks, but why do we assume so? He only said 100 barrels. Yeah. So the Rashbam gives the following answer. Savur she'eino machzik yoser. He didn't remember at the time of his near death how many barrels there are in the bayis. The very fact that he said, I'm giving you the bayis, so he estimated it's 100 barrels. Okay. Now we get to the case of Hegdish. Hamagdish es hasodeh. So we said that if a person is magdish his field, according to the Tanakhama, he's magdish the entire field, including the bar, the shovach, and the gas. And according to Rav Shimon, he only includes certain special trees, but not the bar and the gas and the shovach. Amar Rav Huna, afal gav di amar rabbanon. Even though the Mishnah is going to tell us later on, it's 10 blot from now. Hakone shnei ilanos betoch. Shalchavero, the buyer purchased two trees in an entire field. Hareza lo kanakarka. What does it mean? The tree is nourished by the ground below it, and also the ground around it, which is necessary in order to water the tree. Nevertheless, lo kanakarka tachas ilanos. He does not have rights to the ground below the ilanos. And this is going to be very important, because what it means is that, you know, every tree has a lifespan, and when it dies, does the buyer have rights to say, I want to plant another tree to replace the tree that I purchased? And the answer is, according to the Mishnah, no, he doesn't have those rights. He's going to have to buy those rights, because he only bought the trees. The trees are a separate entity. He did not buy the karka underneath the trees. But mochar karka, if somebody sells karka, the ground itself, vishir, and now the mocher says to himself, I want to exclude from this field ilanos lefanov. Lefanov means liatzmo. He wants to retain for himself the ilanos. Yeshlo karka, he retains for himself not only the trees, but he also retains the rights to replant these trees when they die, when they get old and they wither away. Why? Because he retains for himself not only the trees, but also the karka below the tree. And now the Mishnah has to ask the following question. Well, wait a minute. According to Rabbi Akiva, hamocher b'ayin yafu mocher. If he's selling the field, he's selling everything, all the ground, even the ground underneath the ilanos. Okay, he retains for himself the ilanos, but not the karka. So the Mishnah says, no. Afilu l'Rabbi Akiva, even though Rabbi Akiva universally holds that hamocher b'ayin yafu mocher hani mili, that's only with regard gabi bar vidus. That according to Rabbi Akiva, when a person sells a piece of karka, he retains for himself the bar and the dus, but he doesn't retain for himself any karka or any derech that makes it accessible to get to the bar and the dus. Why? That's only, says the Gemara, Mishum, why? Delokam mikashe biara. The bar and the dus did not in any way deplete the karka. In other words, the water falls in, or you can, you know, work the, you can work whatever you're working with, and therefore, listen carefully, lo chashash ha-mocher, the mocher was not afraid that in any way the buyer would come to him and say, you know what, you know, you don't have rights to the karka, you only have rights to the bar and the dus. The mocher was very comfortable and confident that he would have no litigation here. There would be no claim. Why? Because that karka is not being ill affected if the mocher retains his rights to the karka. Avo, but in the case of ilanos, dekamachrishi biara, if the mocher wants to leave for himself the karka underneath the trees, which means that even when the tree gets old, he'll be able to replace the karka, replace the trees with new trees. Those new trees that he's going to plant will deplete the karka of its nutrients. It sort of sucks away some of the karka. And here we turn to Daf Ayin Aleph Amid Beis. Im Isa Delo Shir, if the mocher decides that, you know what, lo shir, then lemole, he should tell the buyer that, you know what, okay, I'm sorry. Now I got to get the case right. The case is that he sold the trees, correct? He sold the trees. What did he sell? Oh, just one second. Oh, I'm sorry. He sold the sadeh, my mistake, and he left for himself the trees. So the Gemara says, "Im Isa Deloshir Lemale Akar Ilonach Shkol Vizil." What does this mean? The buyer has a right to say, again, I'm going to interpret this Gemara according to the Rashbam. The Ri and Tosfos here on the top has a whole different shot in the sugya, but maybe we'll get to that down the line. It all depends on, I don't know how much time we have. But according to the Rashbam, in this case, if the tree gets old and it dries, it withers away, then the buyer has a right to say, you know what? Take your tree and go. Why? Because I don't want to allow you to replace this tree with another tree. Because that would be machish my karka. And you sold me the karka. I want to get all the karka. If your tree is now going to be replaced by a second tree, then I'm going to lose part of my karka, or the value of my karka, and the potential of the karka to produce. Now at this point,
even the present tree is damaging the area around. Because it's taking nutrient from it.
Right, but that is definitely included in the sale, because the mocher retained for himself the ilonos, correct? So then, again, your pshat is the Ri's pshat in Tosis, that akar ilonche, even now, you're being machish the kak. But the problem that the Rashbam has with the Ri, again, there are tons of problems with the Rashbam, is that the Rashbam doesn't understand how could the, what significance would it be on the part of the mocher to retain for himself these trees, and immediately after the sale, the buyer says to the seller, take your trees and go. So then the trees are only worth the wood as firewood on the market. But the way the Rashbam understands, the mocher retained for himself the trees because he wants to harvest the fruit of the trees as the tree produces those fruit. He's got to have there for the karka. That akashas karka was definitely retained by the mocher. And the lokech has no right to say to the mocher, you're being machish my karka, because explicitly the mocher excluded from the sale the ilanos. But if, on the other hand, these ilanos wither away, and now the mocher comes and says, well, I left for myself not only the ilanos, but also the karka underneath it, such that I have rights to replace it, that's already going too far. So also what we'll just do now, because we're about to start davening, is we're going to read just the next few lines in the Gemara, and tomorrow, Bli Neder, if we're all on board for Yom Shlishi, then we'll get into this. Tnan, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, HaMagdish Es HaSode Lo Higdish Elo Charuv HaMurkov V'Sadan HaShikma. The concept that when a person is Magdish, and no one's forcing him, no one's bludgeoning him to do so, therefore we expand it. But that expansion is only to include trees of great significance, like the carob tree and the sycamore tree. V'Toni Allah. But we learned in a brisa explaining Reb Shimon, or expanding on Reb Shimon, Omer Reb Shimon Matam, why is it that these two trees are different than everything else that's in the field, and they're included in the Hegdesh? Hoil v'yonkim mistei Hegdesh. Because they are enjoying the benefits of a sod of Hegdesh, and the nutrients now are being sucked up. And this seems to contradict everything we've been saying before. That until now we've been saying that Adarava, if it's being machish the field, then it's not included. And now we're saying that even though it's being machish, nevertheless it's included in the Hegdesh. So Bli Neder, according to Reb Shimon, the Hegdesh includes the Charuv HaMurkav, as we said, in the Sadana Shikma, but it does not include the Bar and the Gas and the Shovach. And just to clarify, we had a brisa that tries to embellish the words of Rabbi Shimon, and Bli Neder will pick this up tomorrow. Ma'atam, why is it that we expand the scope of the Hegdish to include the carob tree and the sycamore tree? Hoil, why? V'yonkim mistei Hegdish. Because since he was Magdish the Sodeh, and these trees will now suck up the nourishment from the sada. What's the status of the sada? The sada is hegdesh. If the sada is hegdesh, then the trees also are hegdesh. And why are the trees hegdesh? Because they're nourishing from a stay hegdesh. And that's a sugya in Masechet Zvachim, which is called Gidulei Hegdesh. That which grows from Kark of Hegdesh also has the same status as Hegdesh. So now the Gemara is going to ask a kasha on Rav Huna, because this price of Rav Shimon seems to be antithetical to the logic of Rav Huna. Rav Huna's logic was that the owner of the field doesn't want to be bothered by the karka of the Ilanos, because the karka of the Ilanos, if it's given to the Ilanos, is going to detract from his ability to use the Ilanos. So v'is al kedaitach shiurei shayer, if you're going to tell me that, as Rav Huna insists, that when a person sells Ilanos, he leaves for himself the karka under the Ilanos, then ki koyanki minaf mi dinafshe koyanki. Then the person who was magdish this field left for himself not only the Ilanos, but also the karka under the Ilanos in the case of a mocher. And if that be the case, according to Rav Shimon, who equates magdish and mocher, they all have the same din, then in the case of a magdish, he's leaving for himself the Ilanos, he should leave also the karka below the Ilanos. Why does Rav Shimon expand the scope of the hegdish to include these Ilanos? Because they have the status of gidulei hegdish, when the shear, according to Rav Huna, includes not only the Ilanos, but the karka below the Ilanos. The mocher wants to retain for himself the karka, because otherwise he won't be able to replant these Ilanos when they wither and die. And if he retains for himself karka plus Ilanos, the karka under the Ilanos and the Ilanos are one entity, al pidin, as far as Hilchos Kinyan is concerned, then in the case where he's magdish, then presumably he would leave for himself shear, because Rav Shimon maintains shear even in the case of hegdesh, not only the Ilanos, but the karka below the Ilanos. Ki ka yanki, midinafshe ka yanki. Therefore, if he retains for himself this magdish, the karka below the Ilanos, then the Ilanos are nourished by the nutrients and the moisture that's coming from the karka below the Ilanos, which belongs to the magdish. And therefore there's no din of gidulei hegdesh. So this is the Gemara's kasha that it raises against Rav Huna. And the Gemara is going to try to explain that Rav Shimon holds like his Rebbe, Rav Shimon, the Amar Rabbi Akiva. And if you hold like Rabbi Akiva that mocher b'ayin yafu mocher, even Rav Huna is going to have to agree that he sells the karka under the Ilanos. And that's why the Ilanos would become gidulei. We were hoping to get back to footnote number Yud Gimel, the machlokas between the Rashbam and the Rimigash. Tosfos is very labored here about a Chorav Amurkov and Sadana Shikma, which are not included in the Mechira usually because of their Chashivus. And the question is, what about a case where he was Magdish or he gave Matana, and we say that these trees are included? What exactly is included? For example, let's say there are mos in the sada, there's tfuah tlusha in the sada. These things have no connection to the sada anymore. They don't add to the sada, they don't function in terms of the sada. And in such a case, the Rashbam agrees that even in Matana, etc., they're not included. The Rimigash, on the other hand, is of the opinion that Dvarim Nitzoyim B'toch HaSodah, Kagon Churuv, etc., etc., Bar Gas, those things that are in the Sodah Nesuna, and Shara Dvarim Nitzoyim B'toch HaSodah, Eino B'chlal HaMecher, but nevertheless, Ein B'chlal HaMatana. Anything that's within the confines and the boundaries of the field is included in the matan, in the gift. But dvar michutzala, if it's not located then it, in the field, it's not included in the gift. Okay, we'll stop here.